25 years on the PGA Tour and a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Jay Delsing brings you his perspective on one of the world's greatest games as a professional golfer and network broadcaster. It's the game that connects the pros and the average Joes. Brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Golf with Jay Delsing is now on 101 ESPN.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing, and welcome to my show. I've got to start this show off talking about the President's Cup. What a dramatic ending to the competition down in Melbourne, Australia. They were playing Royal Melbourne, which is really an interesting golf course. We go talk about that a little later. So the U.S. wins 16-14. And at no point in time did it look like the U.S. were really going to win. If you look at day one, Ernie Els had his side out at a really fast start. Day one, the internationals were up 4-1. A little bit of comeback on day two. And this is actually, as I look back on it, this is actually where the tide and momentum started to turn. Day two wound up 6.5 points to 3.5 points. But at one point, with about three holes left in the last match, it looked like the internationals were going to go up 8-2. And that would have pretty been, in my opinion, probably insurmountable. But what happened is Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods pulled out a match. Ricky Fowler and his partner just hung in there. Matt Kuchar made some really great saves almost all week with his putter to bring that score up to 6.5 to 3.5. Saturday's ended with the international side up 9-5 in the morning. So there's four matches in the morning and then four matches in the afternoon on Saturday. That's day three. And at the end of the PM matches on Saturday, the internationals led 10-8. Now, here's what you need to know about the final day on President's Cup. The U.S. has not won the point total on that singles day Sunday since 2009. So you're going to say, well, wait a second. The U.S. has absolutely owned this competition. Before this match here, there were 12 prior President's Cups. And the U.S. was leading 10 wins, one loss, one tie. 10-1-1 over 12. And I got to just throw this little editorial in. I really, really think it would have been better for golf had the Euros won. But anyway, we'll get back to that later. I also have some who are the winners and who are the losers here. We're going to go over some of the points and some of the things that some of the people did. We've got some really neat stuff. But let's go right to the Sunday singles. Okay, so everyone in the competition plays in the singles matches. So there are 12 matches. Who does Captain Woods send out in the first match? He sends himself out. And he's playing Abraham Answer. So many of you may not have heard of Abraham Answer, but you will. I really believe you will. He was an absolute stalwart for the international side. He absolutely played great. He made a comment, though, that he probably, it wasn't disrespectful, but he made a comment that he would undoubtedly like to take back. When they were playing in the World Golf Championship down in Mexico City earlier this year, he made a comment to the media that says, yeah, in the President's Cup, I really hope I get to play Tiger. Now, it wasn't like, I don't think Tiger's any good anymore. Tiger's too old at almost 44. He just said that, well, this Tiger Woods guy does not need or does not miss any potential fuel for his fire. Because he went out in the first match, and he wins 3-2 over Abraham Manson. I got to tell you, one of the coolest things you'll ever see is if you go online anywhere, and look at how this match ended. Tiger stood over about a 15, 18-foot putt and hit this putt so well, and knew that it was going in. He took his hat off when the ball was about 3 feet from the cup to walk over and shake young Abraham Answer's hand. And I think he did make a comment also that said, you know, Abraham got what he asked for. He got to play me. And he got a big L hung up on his mantle. So, but most importantly was the symbolic, to me, you guys, the symbolicness of having Tiger go out first and him going and capturing that point and showing his team, hey, this is our day. Here we go. And it was our day. There were some notable things that happened. Tony Finau was playing against Hideki Matsuyama. And Matsuyama was four up after nine holes. And Tony Finau hung in there, battled back, and managed to get a tie with Matsuyama, which was absolutely massive for the team because Finau was in the first several matches. And when you see a big when you see one of your teammates that's down by such a big margin and then all of a sudden starts clawing back and clawing back and clawing back, and he fights back enough to get a half a point, oh, it's like a huge adrenaline boost for that team. There were some others. Patrick Reed finally did something other than cause a bunch of controversy and a bunch of drama, and he won his match. We had two huge ties in the last two matches of the President's Cup. Matt Kuchar and Ricky Fowler were down most of the day and fought back and fought back and got back to being tied with their international team opponents. They played Mark Leishman and, oh gosh, I think, and Louis Oosthuizen. And the, Louis and Leishman were up on Kuchar and Fowler all day long. So anyway, the President's Cup is pulled out. U.S. wins 16-14. Here's the winners and the losers from the competition. First of all, both captains, huge winners. First, I'm going to say this too. Golf wins again, in my opinion. I think it would have been a bigger boost had the internationals hung on and won the event, but they didn't. But it was one of the most hotly contested matches of the President's Cup history and exciting as hell to watch, honestly, on TV. So both captains. Ernie Els' leadership, he used metrics this time, you guys. He used a bunch of the ShotLink information, a bunch of who was trending on their team at the right time, who was playing well, who wasn't. And it was really out-of-the-box thinking for golf, and he almost pulled it off. And look to see Els' captain again in two more years. I totally believe he'll be captaining that ship. Tiger Woods' leadership was just fantastic, and he set the stage by playing as well as he did. Tiger Woods was worth 3 points to the U.S. side, three of the 16 points. Justin Thomas, huge, huge week for him. 3.5 points for JT, and he lost his single match. He had a chance to bring home 4.5 points that week. Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay also got 3 points. They played every match. They were really, really solid, and their golf games were good. I got to throw a couple of honorable mentions out to Ricky Fowler. He got 2.5 points. And this is going to sound odd, but I'm giving a shout-out to Webb Simpson. First of all, I know Webb. Webb is a great guy, great attitude. Had to be, because he got stuck with the biggest loser of the week, and the biggest loser of the week was carrying the red, white, and blue along, and that was Patrick Reed. We'll get into that in a minute. But Simpson had Patrick Reed as his partner in three matches, and Patrick was awful, and they lost all three. But to Webb's credit, he hung in there, was a great teammate, and he won his individual match. Without that point, there could have been a different outlook. The international winners, Abraham Answer for sure. Unbelievable performance for Abraham Answer, even though he did lose to Tiger Woods. Easy for me to say. Sun J.M. got 3.5 points. He's a 21-year-old rookie of the year in 2019 on the PGA Tour and just an absolute stud. Hit lasers all week long, made clutch putts, and brought home 3.5 points for the international side. Honorable mention goes to Adam Scott. He had to want this so badly on his home turf. He got 2.5 points. Matsuyama, 2.5 points. And Louis Oosthuizen was 2.5 points. Here's my losers for the week. Patrick Reed, biggest loser. Got all riled up in this cheating controversy, which to me, he definitely broke the rules the week before in Tiger's tournament in the Bahamas. That debacle in the sand, ridiculous. Ridiculous. I can't even come close to defending him. He was 1-3-0. Now, he did come back and bring home a big point in the individuals match, so okay. But just too much drama around this dude. It's irritating. Clean it up, man. You're a good player. Just play golf and do some of the right things. Treat people well. I don't know. Crazy. The other loser, my boy Joaquin Niemann, the 20-year-old from Chile, had a really rough week. He only got 0.5 point for the international side. Bryson DeChambeau for the U.S. only got 0.5 point. But I will say this. Bryson DeChambeau was not playing well. Neither was Niemann. And neither was Ha-Tong Lee. Ha-Tong Lee got the big goose. He brought home a goose egg for the international squad, 0-2. And really brutal. But one of the things, folks, you got to realize about these competitions, it's not like everybody on the team is playing well right now. This team was decided months and months and months ago. And these guys are on the team, and some of their games were trending well, like JT and Tiger and some of the others, and others were not. Bryson DeChambeau is in the middle of adding a bunch of weight to his body. He's gained almost 15 pounds, and he was clearly out of sync. Clearly out of sync. Ha-Tong Lee, I'm not sure what happened to him. He looked like he's normally a left-handed golfer and tried to play right-handed this week and was just really out of sorts. And just tells you, golf's a hard game. But, boy, I tell you, all of the competition was great. I got to add this little sidebar on the Patrick Lee bandwagon that's running into the mud. His caddy was the first player caddy ever to be removed from the competition, because after his partner match on Saturday, he got into a fight with a spectator. Jumped off the cart as they were heading back and pushed somebody, so he was kindly asked not to show up on Sunday. And that just was kind of the icing on the cake. That's my take on the President's Cup. Love to hear yours. Reach out to me, Jay, at jdelsongolf.com. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, Pearlie and I are going to talk about physical fitness and how that's changed on the PGA Tour and what these PGA Tour players are doing to get themselves prepared not only for a round of golf, but for a full year of play. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Quick note, we just got a call from our friend Joe Schieser at USA Mortgage. He said the rates are still below 4%, and if you mention Golf with Jay Delsing, he'll give you a discount on your closing costs. Please call him today at 314-628-2015.
Do you folks know about a family-owned and operated jewelry business that's been in the St. Louis area since 1946? If you haven't heard the name Sutley before, well, you have now. They are the premier Hearts on Fire dealer in the metropolitan region and have been for more than 21 years. What's a Hearts on Fire diamond, you ask? It is the world's most perfectly cut diamond. The Sutleys are knowledgeable and passionate about your jewelry needs and are open 6 days a week. They will treat you like family and want to understand your wishes and desires. Their business thrives on developing personal relationships with you. Sutleys also strive to stay on top of the latest trends and fashion with amazing selection of designer jewelry from famous designers like Lagos, Zengani, Simon G, just to name a few. It's all done at Sutley's. Sutley's is on the cutting edge of the diamond business, featuring the lab-grown diamonds that can cost 30 to 40% less than a mined diamond. Whether it's a Hearts on Fire, designer or custom jewelry, or even the new and innovative lab-grown diamonds, let Sutley Jewelers take care of all your jewelry needs. I have known this family for 45 years. Go in and see Gary, ask for Gus, ask for Laura. It's a family business, and they are terrific people. They're located in the Lamp and Lantern Village on Clayton Road, just west of Highway 141 in Town and Country. You can also visit them at saettele.com.
Doster Olam & Boyle LLC are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam, and Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam, and Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam, and Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can find Jay online at jdelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. John and I are here this morning, and we got to give our bump to Whitmore Country Club. They've been a great title sponsor for the show our first year. We had a great time a couple weeks ago. Bummer and I did a little exhibition to the credit of the club, and it speaks to what kind of club it is. We had nearly 200 people follow
That's
us
awesome.
By nine holes.
That's
yeah, it was
awesome.
In November. I mean, it was terrific. But there's 90 holes of golf with this membership at Whitmore. The Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, Golf Club of Wentzville are all included in that membership. So you get 90 holes to play. Golf, no golf cart fees at all. No food and beverage minimums at all. No assessments at all. A huge pool complex. Their fitness center is open 24 hours a day. And then the amenities that they throw in for the families are just – they're endless. You know, there's a kids club, which is really popular around the country. There's swim teams and junior tennis, junior golf. They run golf league skins games, members tournaments, couples events, the holiday calendar for parties, the social aspect of that club. What's cool about that, and I saw at this exhibition that we did, is people loved being there. You know what I mean? They loved being there. I went in and had a pop with them in the 19th hole. We had, you know, 60 people just hanging out in there. It's really fun. So if you're interested in joining a club and you care about taking care of your family and giving them a lot of things to do, you got to go to WhitmoreGolf.com.
Good time of year to do it. End of the year, start thinking about what are we going to do next year and next summer.
Yep, they're doing a really good job out there. We've also got a segment from Cindy Vickers coming up called The Leading Edge. And she's, man, one of the things we talked about, we got to mention this with Cindy. This is it. So you just talked about what a great time it is to look at your club. It's also a great time to do something for your body when you can't go outside every day in the summer like we could. You got to get off the couch, man.
This is the time of year, yeah, to not slip behind, but also the things that were maybe holding you back last summer, this is the time of the year to go do it. That next level of flexibility, next level of strength, whatever different things that Cindy's bringing to the table here. Now's the right time.
She called me and said she's already got two new clients from the show. But it's interesting, though, because we want the easy way out, Pearl. We want to say, oh, if I get a new driver with the old swing, man. Come on. It's the same swing.
Technology is important, and it helps. But at the end of the day, if your physical is holding you back, there's not enough technology out there to get it done.
Yeah, right. So so that's really kind of fun to have Cindy and her expertise on there. And she she's a
how'd you run into her, Jay?
The game. You know, she reached out to me.
Oh, good for her.
And heard about the show and said, you know, I think I can really help these guys. And the fact that she's TPI certified, that's everything. They were the first in the water. TPI stands for Titleist Performance Institute. And what they do is basically what TPI started, John, is the nucleus and the center for all of this physical fitness in golf now.
Really?
Very specific exercises. They've had monitors on all parts of your body, had the player swinging and said, oh, this rotational stuff, this is the obliques, or this is the, you know, whatever it is. And do you have obliques?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes,
I don't
do.
Have obliques, I think. I don't have
little
anyway.
Ones. I got little ones.
Yeah, they're not. They don't. I don't know if I do. I don't use them. But what they do is so they created this entire exercise program for each body part, and that's what you see guys doing.
I'm not sure folks know how much the tour guys are into the physical aspect and the stretching and the range of motion, et cetera. Why don't you talk about that just for a minute?
Yeah, so the stretching part is everything, because that's why you see kind of these long sinewy muscles, like with the Justin Thomases of the world, who is he weighs 152 pounds and he's 5'9" and he absolutely smashes it. And so and you also see bigger guys like Koepka, but don't think that just because he's got bigger muscle mass that he's not flexible. These guys spend hours on this flexibility so that they can turn and they can explode into the ball like they want to. It's
but I mean they've got
crucially
it, the tour truck, the training truck. What do you guys call it on tour?
The physio or the fitness trailers. Yeah.
So I mean, virtually every guy
goes in there and gets stretched before and after.
Yes. Yep. So people don't see that. You don't see that on the range. Once in a while they'll do a little story on it, but that's a big part of what's going on here. So that adds to that long day that the tour player has. Plus, when they're traveling, and it's, we would say, it's you're in a car, you're in the box, meaning your hotel room, you're flying all over the place. That's all that stuff is kind of negative for your body. And then
go
out there and you try to make something go 125 miles an hour. It's those little pieces. And it doesn't take much for a tour player to not be able to play at a high level. So that's why they pay so much attention to it.
Yeah, Pearl, and some of these guys are traveling with their own trainers.
And their own chefs and things like that because
question.
They see the value. Yep. That's
right.
The point.
That's value. The value is look at how much money is on the line now.
Yeah.
We're talking about tens of millions of dollars. Guys, when you look at players and you see patches on their sleeves and their shirts and their hats and things like that, when we played, those were worth anywhere between $10,000 and $25,000. These things are worth $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 each.
You can pay for a good chef on the road.
Yeah.
And somebody to stretch you a little
bit. Make some cereal and milk for you or something out there like we used to eat all the time. Oh, my God.
I see now, even how I live now, just at home, don't worry about playing golf, anything like that, just how I live now. I think back when we were on the road thinking we were somehow doing the right thing with the bacon and the eggs and the cereal and the pretend Tang orange juice and whatever else we were. Oh my gosh!
I know.
How many days
crazy.
Did we go without having a glass of water?
Oh, I know. I don't know, but we didn't go without beer.
No,
we didn't. Or vodka. Well, that's going to do it for the front nine. But stay with us. We have Cindy Vickers on the Leading Edge, and we're going to continue this conversation about physical fitness, and she's going to help us lower our physical handicap. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
The 100,000-watt blowtorch for St. Louis sports, driven by Auto Centers Nissan, home of the 30-day return. WXOS and WXOS HD1, East St. Louis, 101 ESPN.
Yeah, we're back here with the Leading Edge segment. Cindy Vickers is with me, and we have titled this series, Lowering Your Physical Handicap. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Great, thanks. So we talked about getting guys and gals off the couch into the gym. Last segment, we talked about the don'ts, what not to do in the gym. Today, let's talk about the do's.
All right, so I'm going to say things that like you could maybe just get a visualization of, because we're talking about doing a lot of strength exercises and flexibility. You've got to be in a one-on-one, so because some people really need to see the picture, and then you want somebody to be looking at you and sort of coaching you along, helping you to get, you know, in the right position and do things to get the biggest bang for your buck. But so the first thing is to do this activation. Again, you have to see this, but this is not anything. This is requires no strength whatsoever. You just literally go home. It's like the think method. And you just think about it, and then your brain at some point like builds a chain, and you can do it. And so it's activating some of these lower abdominal muscles and these glutes. And I would say that I have every single one of my clients do it. Probably have had one client who could do it initially.
Right.
So again, you can come in with like zero skill. That doesn't matter.
And let's just say this, Cindy, you'll come to their home. You'll meet them at your gym, at their gym, whatever works best for them. Make it as convenient as possible.
Yes. And so, you know, some things that are nice to have when you're doing this work is it's nice to be able to have some kind of a cable machine. But really, there's nothing that you can't do at home, even with zero equipment. I mean, like you'd have, two things that I would bring with me, but it's right. Just portable equipment. All right, so let's suppose that you are going to the gym, and I want to go back to these split squats or lunges. Again, you first have to have this neuromuscular activation, but at some point you've really got to be able to do glute work because that has to stabilize you and keep you mobile so you can rotate your pelvis or rotate your torso around your lower body. So doing things like lunges and some kinds of squats, I'm going to say, is very important to do in the gym. And I just have to contradict myself. I would really hesitate to tell somebody to do that without somebody who really knows what they're doing watching them.
Oh, Cindy, they'll not be able to get up the next day if they do, you know, a dozen of these or so, and they haven't done them before. This will absolutely knock them out if they're not having someone there to help them.
Right. And you also might not be working. You might be doing injury to your low back, and you might not really be working your glutes. But now that you just scared everybody to death, I mean, we ease into this, right?
Okay. No, I'm trying to tell them that's why they need you there to make sure that they're not going to get hurt.
Yeah,
I've hurt myself.
If you can't get out of the chair when it's down low, then you're definitely, according to TPI, not strong enough to play golf. I mean, right. they are really hammer home this glute strength. So that's one thing. Another thing about ado is learning how to practice balance. So how do you practice balance? I mean, there's some very, very simple things. Here's one. You stand up, you lift your knee up in front of you so your leg's kind of at a 90-degree angle, or your knee, and close your eyes.
Yep. And, so, and look, that sounds so simple. Try it.
Oh, yeah.
Try it. It's not.
Especially as soon as you close your eyes.
Right.
So that's one. And then another way is to find your stance at address, right? So your knees are bent, you're leaning forward a bit. I'm just going to say just pull in your abs.
Your stomach
your
a little bit, yeah.
And then you can just cross your hands in front of you, like, you know, hands to opposite shoulders, and pick up one leg. Try to rotate your torso without moving your hips. There's a whole lot of balance there, and not moving your hips is a big deal. But I see this all the time. People they simply cannot hold their balance there. You need that on the course. So that's another one. And then this is really simple. So, again, go into your golf posture. Both knees are bent. This is the part you need to hear. Both knees are bent. So rotate your torso. Let's say you're a right-handed golfer. Rotate your torso to the right. Do not allow your right leg to straighten.
Right.
Keep it bent.
This is Cindy Vickers.
That's just a practice.
And this is here's a little bit of her credential. She's a personal trainer, registered yoga teacher, corrective exercise specialist, and my favorite, TPI Performance Institute instructor. Reach out to her at 314-323-2004.
After 25 years on the PGA Tour, Jay Delsing takes you behind the scenes from the eyes of a pro. Now back to more golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
The Back Nine is brought to you by St. Louis Bank.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Jay and John are here, and we're going into the Back Nine. Folks, you're really going to like this interview from Garrett Johnson. He talked to all of the caddies on the President's Cup before they went over to Australia. So enjoy this interview.
Oh, man, I'm so fortunate to sit down with Garrett Johnson today. Garrett, thanks for joining me.
Oh, no problem, Jay. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you as well. Now, we first met, I'm trying to remember which U.S. Open it was when we first met, both of us working for Fox. Was it Chambers Bay?
Yeah, the Senior Open in my hometown, Sacramento, there, 2015.
That's right. It was at Del Paso.
Yep, Del Paso Country Club, yeah.
So give
That was the second event on Fox, actually, because remember at the time it was back-to-back weeks. You guys started at Chambers Bay with the big U.S. Open there, Jordan Spieth winning, and then the very next week we're up in Sacramento. I remember even being on a flight from Seattle to Sacramento, and Colin Montgomery was on my flight, and he was pumped to play in Sacramento, and I think he was with his mom at the area picking up his bags, and there's so much anticipation for the Open, and it's at that level. The Senior Open is a big deal, especially for, I want to say, he was defending champ. Yeah, I think he won in 2014, so There's so many. For me, Sacramento is a special time. It was great I met you out there, but there's always so many good memories that come out of those Opens.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, man, we've had some fun working together. I know you love the game, Garrett. It shows. Tell our listeners a little bit about what they're doing, how they can follow you on Twitter, and then we're going to get into some of these great stories. I follow you on Twitter, and your Twitter feed's just blowing up with some of these great President's Cup stories that you have.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, I started about 10 years ago. I realized I wanted to add another voice to what we see on the broadcast. You know, CBS does a great job, Fox, NBC Golf Channel. There's so many great voices that are on those broadcasts, but in the end, they're limited to that 3-hour window or that 6-hour window, whatever it is. And there's so many cool little nuances. There's so much color that happens in between the lines, whether it's with caddies or things that happen during a round. In my case, 10 years ago when I started writing, I thought, you know what, let me start writing for the hometown papers of some of the younger stars, younger players, you know, whether it was Harris English for the Thomasville, Georgia paper, or Justin Thomas for his, hometown paper in Louisville, or Tony Finau for the Salt Lake City paper. Talk to these guys and grow with the rookies was always my mindset going in. A good friend of mine, a mentor, Scott Howard Cooper, who worked for many years for NBA.com, the LA Times, one of the great basketball writers covering Magic Johnson and the Lakers in their heyday. He always told me, yeah, grow with the rookies. I mean, do the best you can. And that's kind of been my mantra, Jay. I love the game so much, and I started playing when I was 11. I was a Boy Scout, and I took the golfing merit badge and played in Sacramento at Bing Maloney Golf Course. Worked there a couple years later as a starter. But I always realized early on, I thought, you know, golf is a fun game, but to me, it's about the people. You know, golf is about friends in the end, and the people, the relationships you make, whether it's at your home club, in my case in Sacramento, or whether it's in St. Andrews, Scotland, or in Ireland, some of the great people where this game was born. I've been fortunate to cover some of the Opens 2015 through 2017. And a lot of it was, you know, for Tony Finau's hometown paper, or Daniel Summerhay's first British Open, or what have you. Zach Johnson's win in 2015 for the Cedar Rapids Gazette was a huge high for me. And, Tom Watson's hometown paper as well that week. That was his last Open. One of the epic moments. I was just so lucky to cover Tom in that event. But yeah, I mean, just it's just amazing where this game takes you. And you mentioned that as well before for you, Jay, in your experience, right?
Oh, Garrett, I have met so many people and gone to so many places and done so many things that I would have never been able to do without the game of golf. Just so fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's humbling. It's emotional a lot of times too, because especially when I look at like these team events. Next week you got the President's Cup. They're going back to Australia, and for a lot of these guys, it's sentimental. You know, they were there in 2011. In the case of Paul Tesori and Webb Simpson, and that at the time Webb Simpson was the youngest player on that American team.
I know,
just
isn't
eight
that
years
something?
Ago. And now look at us. We got Xander, the X Factor, and you got JT as a young guy, but he's certainly a stalwart. And man, it's amazing. American golf's in a great spot right now. And when you look at the international team, I think of, you know, Sungjae Im and Joaquin Neiman. Some of these guys are just knocking on the door, and you wouldn't be surprised to see some of the guys in the international team give it a good run in some of the majors next year as well. Yes, Tiger won the Masters last year, but there's still so much good opportunity for these younger, maybe I'll call them underclassmen, guys under 25, under 27, that are really taking their flag to these big events.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit. So you got to spend some time with a lot of these U.S. caddies, haven't you?
I have, yeah, and it's funny. I mean, you mentioned that, and I just, my mind automatically goes to, yes, U.S. caddies. I talked to John Wood yesterday morning. Then it was talked to Paul Tesori in the evening.
John caddies for Matt Kuchar, and Paul caddies for Webb Simpson, as we mentioned.
Webb Simpson, yeah. It's amazing how much experience those guys have in a team room. If you're a caddy right now in professional golf, Jay, and you run the table for the next 15 years, and somehow you find a player that is able to get on all these teams the next 15 years, you're barely catching up with John Wood. You know what I mean?
I know. Think about that. Or how about,
you know, for 20-plus years, and same with Paul Tesori. This is Paul's eighth President's Cup. And I'll just never forget, I mean, talking to him last night, just how close some of these cups have been. I know the U.S. has won so much. We all know that, right? They beat me internationals. That's been the narrative, right? But he was telling me that there have been matches like at Muirfield in 2013, Muirfield Village. They were in the last three groups. Imagine this, that you're the caddy for Webb Simpson, and Webb is out there with a meaningful point available in the final three groups, and there's only three groups on the course. And in the end, in that case, Tiger, of course, came through and got the point and won it for the team. But Paul has been in some battles in a lot of these close President's Cups. Even 2011 was close, as we remember. Another win that Webb and Paul were a part of. They're 2-0 together in President's Cup. Remember, Tiger closed out Aaron Baddeley there on the 15th hole. But at the time, until they're closed out, Webb was still out on the course, and Paul was giving him important reads late down the stretch. So it's just amazing that it's not always that the result, we look at it on Wikipedia page, we say, okay, the U.S. won by this many points or that many points, but man, these guys are out there in clutch moments. And I also think of, as I mentioned, John Wood, his goal has been to be on a winning team and be in the team room, particularly in the Ryder Cup, right? And he got that in 2008 was his first winning team. But his first time on a Ryder Cup was 2002. And I'll never forget the story. He told me probably one of the funnest moments of this whole these projects is he told me he was caddying for Calc at the time in 2001, Jay. And Calc sat down with him over dinner at New Orleans with Wood's best buddy on tour, Bones. We all love Jim Bones McKay. And there they are having dinner, and Calc, in between bites over dinner, is like, oh, by the way, Woody, you're with me at the Ryder Cup.
I just love it.
And Wood
I just
is like,
love
are
it.
You serious? Did I hear you correctly? Remember, this is Wood's all-time goal as a caddy. And here he is over dinner, as casual as can be. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're on Ryder Cup with me. And at the time, Calc was rotating caddies, and there was nothing solid, but just an amazing moment for John. He said he'll never forget it. It's the emotion. And I just love to see that for these guys, whether it's the player or the caddies. When we turn on the TV and watch the President's Cup next week, for a lot of these guys out there on the broadcast, this is what they've hoped for so long as they got into this profession.
Garrett, I had Bones on the show earlier this past summer, and he talked about his main goal was to somehow try – to make one of these team events. And then I think Phil played in 20 in a row or something like that, 10 Ryder Cups in a row and then 10 President's Cups in a row and then, you know, just obviously missed. This was the first one that he hasn't played in something like 20 years or 20 years plus. I can't remember exactly, but just remarkable stuff.
And they were on 13 winning teams, you know, in 13 winning team rooms in all of those, too. 10 in the President's Cup and 3 Ryder Cup wins. Jay, and the amazing thing, too, is who would have thought in their very final pairing together as player caddy in 2016, remember the high of that win for the U.S. team at Hazeltine, right? Ryan Moore makes the clinching putt on 18. Everybody celebrates. Bones is there. He's such a fixture of the event. If you would have told him then or told us as an audience then, you know, this would be Bones' last one because, of course, they would break up the next summer. Who could have believed you then? I mean, because we know, as you mentioned, how huge this is for Bones to be a part of these. And now he's got a mic kind of like you. You know, he's got a mic. He gets to call some of the shots in the broadcast.
Okay, and that's going to wrap up the back nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Don't go anywhere. John and I have
the 19th hole coming for you. I want to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join out at Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardeen, Golf Club of Wentzville, and all the cart fees are included in that membership. There's no food and beverage minimums and no assessments ever. They've got a great 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, 3 tennis courts, a year-round social calendar that is rocking out at Whitmore. There's kids clubs, junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available for your children. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, a wonderful staff, and you've got to go to the golf shop and visit my friend, Bummer. He is an absolute treat. Don't forget about the golf leagues, their skin games, members tournaments. Bummer and the staff out of Whitmore are continually running cool and fun golf events for you and your family. Visit their website at whitmoregolf.com.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With 3 local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the Links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a 4-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
Are the words community, trust, and civic pride important to you? How important to you are those words when choosing who you'd like to do business with? If you're like me, then they're very important. Enter St. Louis Bank. These key words are part of the cornerstone on which St. Louis Bank was founded. This bank is locally owned, and these guys live in our community. Did you know there's a new group of leaders at St. Louis Bank? This new group has doubled down on their commitment to St. Louis, being more involved and getting to know any like-minded person that shares these same values. St. Louis Bank wants to build something big together. When it comes to trust and honesty, don't take my word for it. You'll have to see for yourself. Look for the new locations in Edwardsville opening March 2020 and one at Highway 40 in Hanley coming April of 2020. You can call them at 314-851-6200. Reach them at stlouisbank.com or stop by their current location on South Outer 40 in Town and Country. And remember, St. Louis Bank wants to move your business forward together.
It's time for the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing. The 19th hole is brought to you by Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill.
Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986. Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. John is here with me, and we're on the 19th hole. But we have a fine drive with Jay, with our partners, the Dean Team Automotive Group. Man, they have been just fantastic. I told you folks a while back that I purchased a car for my 16-year-old. Got a used Volkswagen over at the dealership in Kirkwood, and man, Brent and Colin were just fantastic. My daughter loves the car. The service was terrific. We had a little issue with it about 2 weeks after we bought it. They said, bring it in. We'll take care of it. And sure enough, they did. A lot of dealers will tell you they've got any sort of car, every car you want, but the Dean Team really does. They have Volkswagen, Subarus, Genesis, you name it. They've got a golf cart division. It's on Manchester Road also. DeanTeamGolfCart.com. They've got all sorts of cool features that they can put on a golf cart and make it custom for you. They can make it street legal, so go check that out as well. But if you're a car guy, you got to go over to Dean Team Autosports. They've got about $10 million worth of cars on that lot, and every single car that you have ever thought of is over there. They've got a car that's a Porsche 918 Spyder that goes for about, oh, I don't know, Meat's got two of them, I think. It goes for about $1.5 million. It is just spectacular. All their dealerships are located on Manchester Road. Visit them at deanteam.com and tell them Jay Delsing sent you, and they will hook you up for some sort of great vehicle. And now more on that Garrett Johnson interview.
So, Garrett, tell us a little bit about Xander Schauffele. He's one of my favorite players. He lives under the radar, doesn't get the attention that some of the other players do. But man, he's a great young player, a great young guy, and his caddy Austin Kaiser is a good man too.
Right. Yeah. No, Xander's great, and I think you know, the amazing connection that I heard between them. Of course, they were college golf teammates. You know, San Diego State. You know, they grew up in Paradise, going to as Aztecs there. You know, 4 years ago when they finished up. But Kaiser was telling me that he was in the car. Austin was in the car with Xander when Xander got the call from Ryder Cup captain Jim Furyk last year. They were driving from the BMW, Aronimic, remember, it was there yep. last year, to the airport in Philly. And what an emotional moment, because here you got the Ryder Cup captain calling Xander. He picks it up, and Furyk says, you know what, you guys just missed getting that last pick. And as we remember, Jay, it was down to Finau. It seemed like it was down to Finau and Xander, because they were the guys with all the top tens. They were the guys making the biggest moves into those playoffs. And I'll never forget that Austin said when Xander hung up that phone, he said, oh, man, we just didn't – it's on my shoulders. I just didn't get it done. We just got to be better. And lo and behold, they get on automatically as fifth in the rankings for the President's Cup here this very next year here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go on to win HSBC Championships, was it a month and a half later. So talk about lighting a fire under a guy. You know, we see Xander on the broadcast, and he seems, you know, pretty laid back. He doesn't seem too intense, but, you know, one thing Austin has always tells me about him is that he has a burning fire, and he's a quiet assassin in terms of his ability in matches, because Austin had played so many college matches with him, but he said as a leader, that's his leadership style, is to be a quiet assassin and lead by example. And he's not going to be vocal. He's just going to do his job. And Xander has had an unbelievable career, especially when you look at his U.S. Open records. And, heck, he almost beat Rory there in that big European Tour event, what, about a month ago. He
right.
seems to always be in the mix.
Yeah, he's just one of those
really
players.
Impressed with those guys right now.
Yeah, he doesn't have any sort of backup in him. And he's extremely aggressive, extremely powerful. And I just love the way that he goes about his business. Now, did you get to spend some time with Tony Finau's caddy, Greg Bodine, as well?
I did, yeah. Greg is loving this. You know, he's a father of two young boys, and they're, you know, two and a half and under. And his wife, Kelsey, they love the game. They brought their son, Brooks, who's two and a half, to 20 tournaments so far in his young life. What a lucky kid, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Riviera, you name it, some of the best venues, U.S. Opens. And but this is not going to quite work out this time with their schedule. So it's just going to be Greg going solo to the President's Cup. But, you know, let's remember, they were the guys that got that call from Furyk last year, and they got on the team for the Ryder Cup, and how do they perform? Remember, Jay? They went 2-1, and yep. they hit the very shot. I should say Tony hit the very first shot of that Ryder Cup as a rookie with that crazy crowd there in Paris. Ole, ole, ole. And he's got to put a peg in the ground. Well, he nuked a 3-iron, 290 in 42-degree weather right down the middle. And, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Greg said that one of the things that showed him so much about the confidence of his guy Tony was that there was question about, hey, who should hit the tee shot first? And Tony didn't let a second go by. And he's like, hey, I'm taking this. I'm going.
That's
and
awesome.
He hit the shot. Remember, he was with Brooks Koepka.
Absolutely.
The guy that had just smashed Tiger at the PGA just 2 months ago before that. But it's just so impressive how Tony has played in the presence of Brooks, teaming up as a solid tandem, going 2-1 at that Ryder Cup, and then having an unbelievable singles match against Tommy Fleetwood, going 6-4 on that Sunday when Tommy had gone 4-0 that week with Molinari.
Right.
Greg is so excited. Tony's caddy so excited for this second team event. He's been watching it on YouTube. He's got a YouTube premium account so we can see as much President's content as possible. But hey, I mean, that's all of us, right? If we if we were headed over to Royal Melbourne, we'd be doing our best to scout out the course on our computer, right?
Oh, absolutely. And nowadays, I mean, it's so interesting, Garrett, because when I played, we didn't have these sort of things available to us. And I mean, I look at all the how the game has changed. Everybody's, you know, cruises around with a TrackMan and all this stuff. There's just so much information at your fingertips.
Yeah, it is. And but at the same time, I mean, there's this, they got to put in the work too, especially from the player perspective. They got to put in the work outside of being at these tournaments and events. And I remember Austin Kaiser telling me that he lives 10 minutes away from Xander down in San Diego. And Xander's not one to sit around on his computer and watch events. Like he's out there practicing and asking Austin, hey, come out here, let's go practice as often as possible. And yes, they have a TrackMan there when they're practicing on ranges and stuff, but man, I'm just so impressed with some of these younger players like Xander, like Justin Thomas, who we're going to see a lot of next week. And looking at the pairings too, don't you think, Jay, that some of these first round pairings that we saw Wednesday are going to be a bit of a preview for?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, Garrett? Yeah, you're going to get a really cool snapshot into the way a great player thinks, who's also the captain in Tiger Woods. You're going to get a really cool snapshot into seeing what this looks like down there.
Yeah. Yeah, and seeing, you know, you got Xander with Gary Woodland. At least they had in the first round there. And I like some of the way these pairings are coming together. And yeah, you mentioned Tiger. This has got to mean so much to him. And I'd love to talk to Joe LaCava after this President's Cup and just to see what his guy was like in these team rooms. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We see Tiger, and we know how stoic he can be. You know what I mean? But Jay, like, there is such a side of Tiger we've been seeing these last couple years. I'll never forget that Joe told me, the softer side of Tiger, Joe told me after the Masters that the first text that Tiger sent him after they won late that night, that Sunday night, was, hey, Joe, thanks for sticking with me, buddy, through thick and thin. I love you like a brother.
Yeah. We've seen that, and Garrett. There's no question.
It says so much about the new Tiger, you know.
It is, and he's smiling more. He's engaged more. He's, you know, well, let's be honest. He's probably eaten the biggest case of humble pie for almost 10 years. It's maybe as big as anything in the country, except for maybe Lance Armstrong. I mean, he had took a tremendous amount of ridicule and a lot of public scrutiny. And you know, he's coming on to the other side, and it's great to see.
Yeah, it was a story. Remember, it was exactly 10 years ago, Thanksgiving, when the stories came out. And the stories wouldn't go away, right? It's just such a shelf life. Every National Enquirer, USA Today just kept going. And there are so many comebacks he's come back from.
Right.
When you look at that very first one, and then the chipping yips. Remember Phoenix Open 2015, he was down there and just couldn't chip well at all. It's just amazing. And I'm so happy for Tiger. Just there's something about the golf world. It's a small golf world that we're in, Jay, but when Tiger has that ear-to-ear grin, all is right with the world. You know what I mean? And I think one of the last times I saw it post-scandal was 2011 at Royal Melbourne. Remember when he closed out Aaron Baddeley and won on that 15th hole, that first hug he gave to Nick Watney and that embrace, you'll see it in his promos for the President.
Yes.
It's all over the promos. But that ear-to-ear grin he had when he looked at Nick and, hey, man, I won the cup. You know, that to me, all is right with the golf world when we see that full grin, and he doesn't have anything else that would seem to be holding him back.
Garrett, gosh, man, this is fantastic. So listen, folks, you have got to get on Twitter and at Johnston Garrett. It's JohnstonGarrett. Go follow Garrett. I am scrolling through your feed right now, but you've got stuff. One of my favorite caddies out on tour works for Ricky Fowler. Joe, I'm not exactly
Skovran,
sure.
Yeah.
Skovran is his last name. I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, but he is one of my favorites, and I know he's delighted that, you know, Ricky got the call. I know that no one likes to have Brooks hurt, but to be on that team, he's getting to go to Royal Melbourne. You've also got stuff in there with Patrick Reed's guy. His name is Kessler Karain, and you've got to check this stuff out because it's priceless stuff. It really is.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. And well, you mentioned Joe Skovran. This guy, remember, Ricky got the pick from Captain Corey Pavin, but the belief was given into him as a little kid with long hair in 2010 to make that Ryder Cup team as a captain's pick at Celtic Manor. What did he do? He goes birdie to get a halve against Eduardo Molinari, keep them alive. And that was his first team appearance, and that was Joe's first taste of it, right? Joe's 38 now. The very next year, Ricky didn't make the team. As happens so often, it's such a deep pool of talent. It's hard to make these teams. Ricky didn't make the President's Cup for the Royal Melbourne. Well, the next week they would play the Australian PGA, and so Joe Skovran said, you know what, let me get down there early, hang out with my boy Matty Kelly, who caddies for Leishman and is from Australia. Let's go check out the matches for one day. Now, listen, we're not going to tell our buddies, the other caddies. We're going to show up on Friday, kind of watch it and see what it's like. So Joe Skovran, Ricky's caddy, saw the 2011 President's Cup with his own eyes, walked the grounds of Royal Melbourne, loves the course, and was there as a spectator 8 years ago. And now he's going back with Ricky, who got the pick, and just an unbelievable opportunity. And Joe told me over the phone, he said, hey, man, it's going to be so weird, you know, not having Bones in the team room. It's just so weird to not have him there. But now I'm becoming one of the old guys. That's what made him realize he's one of the old vets now at 38.
Well, those torches pass quickly, Garrett.
Kaisers and all that. So.
Yeah, the torches pass quickly there because, you know, this stuff, you keep your head down before you know it. 10 years has gone by, and if you've been fortunate enough to make the team a couple of times, you know, you've been in there three times. Well, there's not many people that can have that on their resume.
Yeah, it is something else. And also, too, yes, you feel like you're getting older, right? But at the same time, when is this my final one? Like, you just never know. It's never guaranteed. And so for him to see John Wood and Paul Tesori and Joe LaCava, Brennan Little, the Canadian who was on the bag, remember, during U.S. Open on Fox?
Absolutely. Great guy, Brennan Little, working for Gary Woodland.
You know, 49, 50 years old. So there are some older guys, but you just never know when it's going to be their last one, when it's going to be your last one. I mean, these players, they're in the next 10 Masters or the next 10 PGA Championships, what have you. But John Wood was telling me that you can never guarantee that you're going to be on a team the next year. Even Captain America was waiting for a captain's pick.
Right.
And he got it. And what is he, like 30-something under par? I'm going to tweet this. He's 30-something under par since he got the call from Tiger.
Yeah, you could tell that he is just fired up. And I really think the last thing I want to ask you, who do you think, because I've got my opinion, I want to hear yours, who do you think Tiger is going to lean on at this President's Cup?
Which player in particular? Or
yes. Do you have a player or a player? I'd say two players that he's going to lean on heavily in this President's Cup.
You know, I think P. Reed, Captain America, is going to be a big one. You know, had Tiger not picked him, it would have been a huge, I hate to say it, but it would have been almost a damning thing for Reed's career, because he would have been left off a team, and who knows what future captains would have done with him. But the fact that he picked him up, I mean, Reed is unbelievable in these team events. And he's told me many times that earning his way on these teams is like his biggest thing, like since day one, when he was out there in 2013, playing in the Sony Open, his first event as a card carrying member, that's been his biggest goal. He takes so much pride. We know how much pride he has in general, but this is a huge point of pride for Patrick Reed. He's going to lean on Reed. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in an anchor match when they need it. And I think Ricky Fowler, man, I think Fowler is such a huge part of these teams. Fowler, and also I'm going to add Tony Finau, because of what Finau did at the Ryder Cup. Tiger knows how valuable a player he is.
I like it. I like it, Garrett. I'm really thinking we're going to see a lot of JT. That's my guy that I think Tiger is going to rely heavily on. He's been a great team guy in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cups in the past. He's playing about as well as anybody. Hopefully his health, you know, stays with him so we get the privilege of watching him for the next, you know, oh, gosh, who knows, 15, 20 years. But I'm looking for Justin Thomas to be a big part of this.
Well, they were paired together in the first round of the Hero, so they might be playing together, which would be an absolute epic stuff. Must-watch TV. I don't care if it's, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Gosh, how can you miss that as a golf fan, right?
Wow, that's really a cool interview. The timing just worked out really well with the President's Cup just ending, and Garrett is really plugged into those caddies and gives us some good insight. That's going to do it for another show. Pearly, thanks for being with me. Meat, thanks for keeping us in track and in order. That's like keeping one more frog in the wheelbarrow. I don't know how you do it, but stay with us. We will talk to you next week. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com, as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.